Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. And I'm just letting you know that I've been gone this week and listened to about 20 sermons from different preachers. And so just buckle up. No. But it was a good week. All the messages were very, very good and encouraging there at Hillsboro. And the most encouraging thing, there was at least 25 baptisms that they'd had. Two of them were from young men at the congregation here, Jonah Morris and Adam Shipman were immersed. Congratulations. Yeah, I think Lord's got big things in store for those two young men, and it's just so exciting to see people come to the Lord. Especially when they get to do it when they're young, because look, they've got a lifetime that they get to live for the Lord now. So if we're out there and you're a little older than they are, you can have the remaining time of your life to live for the Lord if you make that decision. An exciting week. Exciting to see their faces. They have to obviously, being with the children's home, we have to navigate some different channels for them to answer that call for their when they got the approval that they could go ahead and do that, they were super, super excited, and so were we. See them begin their walk. As Josh had mentioned also, next week, next Thursday at the Harlan Days, at the Food Pavilion, for those that have signed up to work at there, make sure you're there at the Food Pavilion for your designated times. Appreciate Harlan and all their help. If there ends up being more people than the slots that are out there, they will not complain. Okay, I just promised them at least 10 people for each shift, but if there's more than that, if you want to bring a friend or, you know, whatever, that would be great as well. So that'll be on Thursday evening. All right, our message this morning, we've entitled Little Things Make a Big Difference. Little Things Make a Big Difference. And we all realize that. Maybe it's been an act of kindness that somebody has shared with you, just a simple, small thing that they have done or said to you that has made a big difference in your life. And it may be something that they don't even remember saying or doing or something of that nature, but made a big impact. And the Lord is telling us of the same type of thing in one of his parables. In Matthew 13, verse 33, it's one of the smallest parables that we have. He's got several that are small, but this one here is one that we hope to glean some ideas and some practical applications for as we move forward. Matthew 13:33. He spoke another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened." Jesus uses this parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, something that we can take and relate to our own life. But this parable of the leaven is to illustrate the nature of the kingdom of heaven. We must remember that the kingdom of heaven is a synonym for other things as well. For the church, the body of Christ. Jesus compares the church to a woman who adds a small amount of leaven to a large amount of flour and then works its way through the entire batch, causing it to rise. This parable suggests that the kingdom of heaven though starting small and seemingly insignificant at times, will ultimately permeate and transform everything. So if you're here this morning, I hope you were, for Dakota's devotion. It's going to go right along with this. Josh's class, one of the points that he had, goes right along with this as well, that as we're going to discuss. But the first thing we want to look at is we may not be quite familiar with or always use that term leaven. So what is leaven? What is leaven? Well, it's also known as yeast. You know yeast probably better than you think you do. It's the stuff that makes those rolls from Texas Roadhouse taste so good, right? Besides the cinnamon butter that you put on them. Or maybe your favorite donuts. It's the stuff that makes those taste so good. In the Greek language, it's the word zume, which means to ferment, as if boiling up or bubbling up. While leaven can represent sin, as in the highly touted Jewish feast, the Days of the Unleavened Bread, which involved removing leaven from homes, this also symbolized the process of cleansing and a renewal, purging sin and striving for righteousness. So when we look at this, this is one of those words that we see leaven. Remember, Paul warns us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then Jesus says here, but the church, the kingdom of heaven, is like leaven. So is leaven good or is leaven bad? It just all depends, right? It just all depends. Do you want for your yeast roll to rise and be fluffy like the ones at the restaurant? Or do you want it to be flat like an elephant ear? I'm like, that's a win-win situation either way, right? But as we look at that, it's just a reminder to us that all depends how these things and how it's used and interacted. Leaven in its synonym form brings with it the meaning to animate. Think of this. So when my wife makes cinnamon rolls, one of the things that she makes sure that she does is she always looks at the Flashman's yeast jar to make sure that it's not expired and make sure that it's fresh and make sure that it's going to rise, because the last thing we want is one of those cinnamon rolls that she makes that tastes like a brick. And that's what will happen if she don't have that yeast in there to animate it, to infuse it. That's why when you put yeast into dough, a ball of dough, you may put it in there, put a little cloth over it, you set it out, and you come back, and that thing will be bigger. It's animated, it's infused. It means to give life, to invigorate, to permeate. Now, here's one of the bad things about leaven. So you're making bread or you're making cinnamon rolls and you work that into the dough and you're going around. Once that's in there, you are not going back in there and picking it out. You can't like sort through it, comb through. Well, I'm going to take all the leaven out. Okay? It's not like gluten. Right? Once it's in there, it's in there. It means to invigorate, to permeate, to saturate, or to overwhelm. And boy, don't those cinnamon rolls overwhelm us? Especially with a glass of milk. Oh, yeah. But in the Bible, leaven or yeast is sometimes used as a symbol of corruption, of sin. However, in this parable, Jesus uses it as a positive sense to represent the transformative power of the kingdom of heaven, of the transformative power of his church, the transformative power of the church of Christ. And this is one of those things that we need to make sure that we are involved with. We'll look at it a little bit later, but as Dakota talked about that this morning with being transformed by the renewing of our minds, not being conformed to the things of this world, but that we are an impact where we are at. Even though we may be small, I know, you're looking up at the stage and saying he's small, right? We may be small in number, small in group, but we have big efforts that we can do. Big things that the Lord wants done from us individually, from us collectively, as the body of Christ, that He wants for us to impact. He wants for us to permeate. He wants for us to saturate the world in which that we are involved in. So that as we go out and in the area in which that we go, people will say, those people have been with Jesus. Wasn't that said before? That you could tell that those people have been with Jesus? That those people have been with Jesus? Those people have been in His Word? Those people have been in His fellowship? Those people have been in His working and His gathering together? Because as we learn that the kingdom of heaven, that His church, the church of Christ, in which we are a part of when we begin that walk of obedience with Him, that there's no other thing like it on the face of this earth. And the Lord has left us as individuals to carry on that task. That is a very humbling thing. If we don't get anything else from this message, is that the Lord left the success of the church in our hands. Now, we're going to see that He plays the most important role in that, but we do have our work that we need to do as well. And so, much like this yeast or this leaven, our point here that we want to share is that it may have a small start, but it makes an incredible impact. A small start, it begins with, but makes an incredible impact. Just as a small amount of leaven can affect a large quantity of flour, the kingdom of heaven, though perhaps not initially evident or widespread, will have a profound and transformative effect on the world. Look into the scriptures of people that are talked about that have been faithful to the Lord, that have carried out His will, that hundreds, thousands, several thousand years later, we're still talking about. Noah, for example, he was one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That we look at Abraham, who was called a friend of God. That we look at Moses, the great lawgiver. As we go through the Bible and we see all those, and then even coming up to the New Testament, that we see a group of ragtag individuals that Jesus collects, gathers up, spends 3.5 years with, and then instills in them the opportunity to bring the gospel message to the world. A good question for us to ask the church is this. If we stopped existing in this area tomorrow, would anybody notice? Do you want to know if you're having an impact in your area, in your town, in your community, in whatever, in your job? that if you didn't show up tomorrow from a Christian point of view, from a Christian perspective, would anybody notice? Right? We're not just talking not showing up for your job, but I'm talking not showing up with your Christian influence. Because as much as we may enjoy being together and hanging out together, this is not a social club or a country club. This is not a place where we come to have a concert and to be entertained. The church is really to be a hospital of sorts in the world. You know how I know? Because you may tell me different, but I've been around a while and figured a thing or two out. You may say that everything is going great in your life, but you're lying. We're broken. Some are scarred. And we're trying to get over those things, and we're trying to heal from those things. But if the Harlan Church of Christ quit existing tomorrow, would the community even notice? I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, James Graber would be like, where's all these people at on Thursday night? Right? Because they need their help at the Harlan Days. I'm here to let you know that our impact in this community is far greater than serving at a food tent. Although that is part of it. That is part of it. I've heard some people complain that the world is getting too churchy. I think, unfortunately, the fact is that the church has become too worldly. John 17:14-17. Jesus says this, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. So the last few weeks started with a conversation I had with Drake. I've been researching and trying to figure out, so like, what are the top five things that draws somebody to a congregation? You know, or not, what is not mentioned in the top five things that I've found so far? His word. And so is it a wonder that when Jesus says, I have given them your word and the world has hated them, that when you talk to people and you try to invite them and you want them to come and share the gospel because you've got the message that'll save their soul, that they could care less? It says that they are hated because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world, Jesus says. I do not ask you to take them out of this world. Wouldn't that have been great? Really? If once we become a Christian, you come up out of the watery grave of baptism, you just disappear and you're off to this utopia of Christians and you just have, you know, encourage one another all day long. In other words, we just go straight from the watery grave of baptism to heaven. Oh man, that would have been great, right? But how could we then share how Christ and His Word and the Holy Spirit has impacted our life from that moment forward? I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even if I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Set them apart in your truth, in the truth, because your word is truth. Can I get an amen? Now, I'm going to say something here, but I need you to hear me out all the way through. Okay? Because if you only listen to the first part, you're gonna maybe get frustrated. You're not going to see where it's going. So you need to listen out the whole thing. Just one paragraph here. The church will not transform people. The body of Christ will not save people. The kingdom of heaven will not change the world. The Christian will not grow the church. The only transforming, saving, changing power in an individual's life is Jesus Christ and the truth that he speaks. This verse, part of the high priestly prayer that we just read to his Father on behalf of his disciples, emphasizes that while believers live in the world, their values, priorities, and ultimate allegiance are not aligned with the world's system. And therefore, the church cannot save anyone. Jesus Christ does. Now, once we are saved by Jesus Christ, then guess what we're a part of? The greatest organism on the face of the earth. The church. The body of Christ. The very thing that Jesus left here on this earth and is coming back for. You and me. And prayerfully, all those lost souls that have not repented yet. Start small, but it'll make an incredible impact. Number two, the church makes a difference. The church makes a difference. Though small and seemingly insignificant and hidden at times, the church makes a difference. The woman hides the leaven in the flour, highlighting the unseen yet powerful work of the kingdom. It doesn't take a whole lot of that yeast that they put into that dough. Seems small, but makes a great impact. It's going to make a difference. The Lord has permitted the Christians, the church, you and I, to be involved in the growth of the heavenly church. Now, here's where he has taken all the pressure off of us. Right? And because we know as Christians, we are definitely to be involved in the presentation of the Great Commission, the gospel message to share the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul does a very good job of reminding us that we are nothing. Thanks, Paul. I really needed that upliftment today. Right? What I mean by that is that we may do this and we may do that, but it's the Lord that gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing growth. If people are coming to the church for any other reason other than Jesus, then we need to back up. They need to be coming to Jesus. They need to fall in love with Jesus. They need to become obedient to Jesus. And then we get to be a part of the greatest organism on the face of the earth, the church. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God causes the growth. Two verses. Twice he says God causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And here we thought we were going to church today. No, we are the church. We're God's building. He's building us up. On the foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the apostles, then he builds us. We get to be his building. Think of yourself this way. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall. All right, Pink Floyd. Right? We're more than that. We are more than that. We are God's field. We are God's building. What we are is God's recognizable face, hands, and feet in this community. I'm here to let you know the church can make a difference. Thirdly, that's because there is a transformation. The transformation. This is the part that will really go along with the morning devotion. The leaven works its way through the entire batch of flour, symbolizing the transforming power of the kingdom of heaven as it spreads throughout the world. Romans 12:2, which was read this morning, and verse 21. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That takes a transformation in our attitudes. Right? Jude and Jace have this a lot. Right? One will get up and run after the other one, and the other one will run away screaming, ah! And why are you doing that? Well, he started it. He pushed me first. Well, don't respond back with evil. Scripture says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a transformation that has to take place. We have to make up our mind. As Don Cooper says, that has to happen every day. That sometimes maybe the best thing to do is get up and quote that verse to yourselves every day. That I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to transform my mind. I'm going to renew my mind so that I can prove what the will of God is. Just as leaven can be used to symbolize the transformative work of God's kingdom, it also reminds believers of the ongoing need for spiritual growth and purification. Growing spiritually. Purification. Getting the evil and the wicked and those things out of our life. Josh talked about this in our Sunday school class. The purification. The Lord says it this way. Be holy because I am holy. And we're told that without holiness, no one will see God. We've got to be like Him. We have to transform our thinking to be more like Him. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Have you had your down and out moments? Maybe recently? Maybe in the past? Well, if it's been a while, buckle up because there's probably some more headed your way. That's just the outcome that we have of living in a fallen world. But Jesus says, I've spoken these things so that you might have peace. A peace that the world does not understand, that the world cannot comprehend. Paul talks about that. That passes all understanding. But if you're in this world, if you're here today and you're still breathing, right, get the mirror out, put it under your nose. Okay? If you're here and you're still breathing, then you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have struggles. But it's far better. It's more tolerable. We have the encouragement of the saints when we allow for the kingdom of heaven to be the family of God to us all. This parable can be encouraging to those who might feel that the kingdom of heaven is small or insignificant, as it assures them of its eventual pervasive influence. Some interpretations also suggest that the parable gives insight to the hidden nature of God's work in the world and the eventual triumph of good over evil, that we can have a permeating impact on the society. You know, one of the things was shared this past week, and I can't remember who said it in one of the messages, but they said it this way. You look around, and, you know, we're not a large congregation by any means, but we're not entirely small either. And, you know, there are things that big congregations can do that small congregations can't. They just cannot do. But there are a lot of things that small congregations can do that huge congregations just can't. Why is that? I believe because of this very parable. That for us to be that leaven in the area in which we are, to make an impact, though small, at the start, can make a big impact. Now, I don't think that if we're small that we should just rest on our small numbers and say, you know, well, that's just the way it's going to be. Because every week when we set these chairs up, our prayer is that someday the extra stack that we have up in the storage room over here will have to be gotten out consistently. But as you can tell, take a look to your left and look to your right, in front of you and behind you. Still got some work to do. We need to go out, permeate this community, permeate the area in which we live by letting the world see the love of God, the love of Christ through us. Ephesians 3:9 says this, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So I share this verse with you as we close for this reason, the transformation that's going to take place. You see the word mystery there in this verse? I got it underlined. That's a military term. So do you remember seeing some of the old movies where, like, Napoleon Bonaparte, or maybe even some of the ones during the Revolutionary War and things of that nature? Well, they'll have a big map out, and it's almost like they had their toys they were playing with, you know, on there. And they would say, well, we're going to put this army, this group, this going to be over here, and ships are going to come in from this way. And that's what this whole idea is. Is that God has this all laid out. And to the one that's leading this infantry group, we may not have any idea what's going on with this naval group over here. This cavalry group here has no idea what is going to be done by the people in the front lines over here. But you know what? Someone far greater than a Napoleon, or a Washington, or an Alexander, God the Father, sees the whole plan, and he knows how it's going to end, because we've read the end of the book. Revelation tells us that the church wins, that we win. And so the battle may seem to be harsh at times. There may seem to be casualties. But fear not, John 16:33 says, that he has overcome the world. We may not understand the plan, but as the battle wages and the war continues to play out, if we're fortunate enough, we'll get to see the whole plan come together. Remember those of us that used to watch the A-Team in the 1980s? At the end of the episode, we all waited, right, for Hannibal to say, I love it when a plan comes together. God already knows that this plan is going to come together because his son has already done everything that they're going to do to offer us salvation. We need to be obedient in accepting it. Then we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus Christ living within us, of remember why they said the world is going to hate us? Because we have his word. Never be ashamed to have your Bible. Never be ashamed to quote the word of God. Never be ashamed, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and even to the Gentile. So that all may come to him. We're going to see this plan either from this earth or in heaven, see it all come together. We see the entire event worked out exactly as the master had planned. If you're here today and you're outside of the church, you're outside of the body of Christ, I want you to understand that it is important that we are a part of that. However, first and foremost is that you love Jesus so much that you're just simply going to do whatever he asks you to do. By doing that, then, you become a part of the body of Christ. You become a part of the bride of Christ. The book of Revelation says that I am coming back for my bride one day. That we need to be ready. Because it could happen at any moment. I know it's kind of serious right now, at least I hope that if you're thinking. But I have something I want to share with you that happened this week at camp that for the individual was rather unfortunate. But I thought of it, it happened last Sunday morning, right about this time. Alex Eddy's preaching the sermon. He's going over the plan of salvation. And of course, you know, as we're sitting there, many people have the folding chairs that are provided. But a lot of people bring in their own lawn chairs. And as we know, lawn chairs can fail. And especially after you've had them for some time. And generally, we buy them two at a time, right? You know, usually the husband, wife, a matching set, or you get two, you know, type of thing. So anyway, we're there. Alex Eddy is going through the invitation, and a gentleman sitting about four rows in front of us, all of a sudden, he's got one of those nice chairs with the canvas backing and bottom on it, and all of a sudden, that seam rips out on the side. And he is butt down, hands up, feet up, just sitting there. And you're trying not to laugh. But I was like, how appropriate is that? That is like a perfect illustration of you better be ready. Alex is given the invitation that now is the time. Don't wait. And the seat falls out from under this guy. Now, you try to compose yourself a little bit, see if the guy needs any help. After he sat there and realized that his Dr. Pepper went flying all over the place, you get back up and you get back into life, right? And you think, well, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen to me, then I'll be just fine. Until Wednesday morning comes. Same guy. Now remember, when you buy chairs, you buy two at a time. So that means they're the same age. He's sitting there again. Coming to the end of the message. Unfortunately, I had stepped out to go get a bottle of water. I get back and my wife says, it happened again. I'm like, no way, are you serious? And I look down. Of course, he's gone. His chair is ripped on the same side again. The canvas fell out. All I've got to say is the Lord doesn't always give us a second opportunity. Now, we've made this kind of humorous, but I want you to understand that eternity is an awfully long time. Matter of fact, it's forever. And maybe you've been given this opportunity, and your chair's holding up great. But you know what? If there's any day at all that that chair is going to come out from underneath of you, we need Jesus Christ as our solid rock. And so we may think that I've got a picture of it too if you want to see it after the second one. Not him sitting there like this, but the chair. I was just like, there's got to be an illustration in there. And I told Hal, I said, I'm going to use that on the invitation. Because you never know. And it doesn't have to be the world come to an end. Your heart could stop before you hit the front door. We're that fragile. We live in a fallen world. Let the church permeate your life. Be a part of the church so that you can permeate the lives of others as Christians. But let Jesus love you, embrace you, and let Jesus transform your life. To just be honest, if I open up the Flashman's yeast and say, here, take a spoonful of it, we're not going to do it. But you add that to some other stuff, and we'll be having us some cinnamon rolls. And heaven is far better than any cinnamon roll. If you're here and you're outside of Jesus, we encourage you to believe in Him today. Believe in Him with all your heart. Believe in Him that He is the only way to the Father, that He is the only way to heaven, that He is the only way to be a part of this greatest organism on the face of the earth, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, His church. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then by all means, continue to live your life faithfully. Faithfully for Jesus. So that the individuals that we come in contact with say, you know what? There's something bubbling up inside those people. There's something that's infused in them that makes them different. And you can say, I've been in touch with Jesus. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?